540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
What's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard? This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 40-year-old college student in Stevens Point is set to become the first Republican challenger to Senator Tammy Baldwin. The Journal Sentinel reports Rajani Radhivran plans to officially launch her campaign tonight. A Ravindran immigrated to the United States in 2011 from India. She became a citizen in 2015. She's worked as a nurse and a midwife. There's less than a year to go before the Republican primary. Governor Evers is calling a special session of the state legislature to deal with the crisis in Wisconsin's child care industry. Melissa Kay has more.
Evers wants to create a $1 billion subsidy for child care centers so they can hire more people at better wages and keep tuition in line for families. Evers and Democrats tried to expand state aid to the child care industry during the budget process. In the end, they only got a fraction of what they wanted. Federal pandemic support for Wisconsin's child care centers is scheduled to run out at the end of the year. Evers wants the special session on September 20th. He's called a dozen special sessions since taking office, but Republicans often gavel in and gavel out those sessions without any debate. Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Tighter rules could be coming for companies like DoorDash and Uber Eats in Wisconsin. A state Senate committee took testimony today on a bill covering third-party food delivery companies. They might deliver a restaurant's food, but they don't have a legal relationship. Steve Anderson is a lawyer for Culver's.
When they list our information on the website, I can tell you every single time it's incorrect. The pricing is incorrect. The menu items are incorrect. The ability to customize, which is essential to our brand, is incorrect.
The bill would let restaurants cut ties with third-party delivery companies. It would also make drivers comply with food safety codes. Telehealth is popular with young adults, and as Mike Moan reports, experts say Gen Z will influence many other healthcare trends.
As these individuals begin to navigate adulthood, they also value apps that can make it easier to schedule appointments, manage conditions, and look up data. Rochelle Andre with the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association says more importantly, this generation wants to feel empowered when receiving care.
I don't think a Gen Z individual is really likely to just be directed to what to do with their health care. They need that buy-in and options.
And she says Gen Z deserves praise for normalizing conversations regarding behavioral health amid nationwide calls to expand mental health care and insurance plans to cover those expenses. I'm Mike Moen.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and you're listening to Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Even if the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office finds the person dropping off anti-Semitic flyers in Sussex, there may not be consequences for that action. On social media this morning, the department says they were made aware of the offending flyers being distributed late last week. In a similar situation in Kenosha last year, a suspect was found, but the only charges for littering were thrown out over free speech grounds. Families with kids in Waukesha schools must finalize their choice by tomorrow's deadline about potential school transfers. The school district is extending the option due to some classes at schools nearing a capacity of 30 students each. The scarcity of dual language teachers contributes to the problem. Old Style is returning to its roots. Their brewing operations will move from Milwaukee to their former home in La Crosse come November. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Packers are on to Cincinnati. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a walkthrough practice today and are now headed to Cincinnati, where they'll face the Bengals for a joint practice session tomorrow before their preseason game Friday night. Head coach Matt LaFleur asked why he decided to take the team on the road for a practice session.
I think it just gives us an opportunity to bond. I think that camaraderie is an important part of this process and just that team chemistry, the makeup. The more these guys hang out together, the more they get to know each other. I think the more they'll fight for one another.
LaFleur getting good news that Rashawn Gary Berry passed his physical and is off the PUP. The linebacker suffered a torn ACL just 9 months ago.
I mean, I've just been taking it day by day, just trying to check off, you know, as many boxes I can. And I've been checking them off. I've been staying on track, and boom, it just ended up being this time.
College football, the Badgers headed back to Madison after a week of practices at UW-Platteville. Defensive end Gio Paez.
It's something like I've never experienced before. I've never went off the grid for fall camp. We're in the dorms, as you know. It's a total different feel, but I think it's helping with the camaraderie and just everyone coming together and truly being a family.
Baseball, the Brewers host the Rockies again coming up at 7:10. Rowdy Tellez scheduled to start his rehab tonight in Nashville. Veteran pitcher Brandon Woodruff set to pitch again later this week. Woody asked if he got a little emotional on the mound during his comeback Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, honestly, more emotional than I thought it was going to be. I think I did a good job of holding it in internally. But, you know, when you haven't pitched here in, what, essentially, I don't know, 4 months, 3.5 months, whatever it's been, you miss it. And you miss going out and competing with all these guys and kind of being in the middle of things. And now we're getting down to the last 2 months of baseball. And the division race is still tight. And this is the fun part. And you know what? I'm just like everybody else. I get nervous and anxious. And, you know, I was just ready to get out of here and pitch. Honestly, just ready to get out on the field.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back, hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a terrific Tuesday edition, Dom. And it's getting better all the time because we are joined right now live via phone by our buddy John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here locally. John, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, some say.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, you two?
Good.
Some say, isn't that the Fox line?
Well, the greatest radio show ever is our line, John. That's the one
we're
claiming.
Your line. It's just the some say part. So I think I've heard it.
Hardly fair and balanced around here either, I hear.
John, very imbalanced, I understand.
Exciting booking for the Cap Times Ideas Fest. Your friend and a guy I admire quite a bit, U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, going to be one of the big headliners, not the only one. But he's the Friday night. John, is he staying by your house that night?
He may find his own accommodation. I'm not sure. But there's certainly, if need be, there's a guest room. You know, we could make it work.
John, I know Bernie Sanders is beloved in this neck of the woods. You have squired the senator from Vermont around a couple times. I saw you at, what, Fighting Bob Fest. You were introducing Bernie around, and he was a regular. And I think there was a reason that Bernie Sanders was so beloved and why he won the Wisconsin primary, the Democratic primary, by double digits, John. Some forget, but I never forget.
Huh. Yeah, he won 71 of 72 counties, and he almost won the 72nd. He did very, very well in Wisconsin. And I think he always had a following. I think that's in part because he taps into something that, you know, hardwired into Wisconsin history, and I hope the present, and that's our progressive tradition. And that progressive tradition of Robert M. La Follette and the people associated with him tended to believe in economic and social and racial justice, saving the planet and avoiding stupid wars. And so that sounds a lot like Bernie Sanders' agenda.
Well, John, a complaint, and we read your column earlier today, or at least big parts thereof.
Sure.
And one of Bernie's complaints, he goes on the big corporate media, ABC, CBS, whatever the case may be, although he's been here, I would point out, a couple times. And Bernie says, you know, they They ask me about the outrage of the day, but they don't ask me the really big moral questions. So, John, what is the most important question? From Bernie's point of view, it was always about the kitchen table economic agenda, the 99%. John, that was my takeaway from his campaign. Do you think that's one of the moral questions that should be repeated over and over again?
Sure. And I think it's a deep reality in the United States that we have approaching economic inequality. We have a very wealthy class, and then we have a great deal of poverty and a middle class, a working class that is just struggling to keep its head above water. So in that circumstance, clearly the economics are a big factor. And so many things extend from that. Remember, you know, when you're talking about economics, it's not just, you know, like ledgers and numbers on a page. It's human beings. And it's the question of whether you can afford health care, the question of whether you can afford to send your kids to college or go through college yourself. The question of whether the wages you make working hard at a job, sometimes going before dawn, work until after sunset, are sufficient to keep you above the poverty line. And when that intersects with issues of race and class and gender, you know, we have this whole package in this country of inequality and unfairness. And Sanders, from the start of his career, has been very, very focused on that. And I think he's made a lot of the connections between economic injustice and racial injustice, injustice toward all sorts of dispossessed peoples, and I think that's why he's had a kind of a unique appeal in American politics.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine joining us. Specifically in the Cap Times, John, one of the questions with the book you did with Bernie question, what does it mean morally, economically, and politically that three multi-billionaires own more wealth than the 160 million Americans who make up the bottom half of our society? Well, I'll pose that to you, John. What's the answer to that? And is the solution just simply raising taxes on the rich?
That's a part of it. Yeah, to go to the core question there. But yeah, the moral question there is a fundamental one. And, you know, all the world's great religions, if you read their core texts, they will tell you that, that, you know, we have a duty to the poor, right? We have a duty to address the suffering of those who lack economically compared to those who have a great deal of wealth. And so if we accept that, and if we understand that as a moral duty, then the question is, how do you achieve it? Some of my Republican friends, conservative friends, have suggested that, you know, it's you should have trickle-down economics, rich, yeah, even richer, and some of that will trickle down on the rest of it. But the reality now, after four decades of talking about trickle-down economics, is we've got a wider gap between rich and poor than at almost any time in history. And so it does seem to suggest that perhaps at a time when, you know, we have billionaires accumulating unimaginable amounts of wealth, you know, that we're literally talking about when we'll have our first trillionaire, that maybe a little bit of progressive taxation might be appropriate. And I mean, you could debate how much. You could debate, sure, how much, you know, during World War II, you know, when we were trying to take on some pretty serious issues and as a country had to make some tough choices about how we were going to organize our economy. They put a 92% tax on the excess profits of billionaires in those days, and a 95% tax on the excess profits of corporations. And in that moment, right, we didn't collapse as a country. In fact, we came together and defeated fascism. And in fact, it worked so well that after World War II, Democratic and Republican presidents maintained tax rates into the 90% for the excess profits and the excess earnings of the elite. And so we know that it works, right? In fact, when we had dramatically higher taxes on the rich and dramatically higher taxes on corporations in the 1950s, what happened? We boomed as a country. You know, it was the era of, you know, incredible economic growth for this country, and including incredible economic growth for poor and working class people. We had raised a lot of people out of poverty in that era. And so what Sanders and I have argued in the book, and what we've argued in many other settings, is that that's doable, right? We can still do that. We can tax the very, very rich at a very high rate. They'll still be rich, by the way. It's not going to ruin them. But distribution of the wealth to achieve those moral goals of ending poverty and assuring the stability of the middle class, that works. That has worked in the past. It can work again.
John Nichols, our fine guest. He is a editor at the Capital Times. They are going to host Senator Bernie Sanders here in Madison for the Cap Times Idea Fest 2023. I believe Bernie's coming on September 22nd. Other fine guests, but we're talking about some of the moral questions posed by Bernie Sanders. And you co-wrote a book with Bernie. And one of the other ones, the crisis of our future, our children's future, if there is a future for our kids, John, climate change. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to deny that we're going through this rapid warming of our planet, and doesn't stop Republicans from denying it. But Bernie points out, you point out in your column today, why aren't the fossil fuel companies being held responsible? John, what does that look like? And, you know, again, answer the moral question for us. How do we solve this world crisis? John, could you solve it for us?
Yeah, sure.
Like the next 90 seconds.
How much time do we
90
have?
90 seconds. I can give you till the break, John.
Yeah. So prepare your next question because we'll get this done quick. No, look, this is really, it's an incredibly challenging issue, and it's one that poses a lot of concerns. But my friend Rebecca Solnit, who's a great writer on environmental issues, has a new book out in which she argues that the challenge now is not figuring out how to solve the problem. We've actually got the answers, right? We know that we can go to electric vehicles. We know that we can transition from fossil fuels to different fuels and to different approaches, and also that we can rely on conservation. It's doable. It's a political question now, not a scientific question. The scientists have given us the ways to get out of this crisis. The question now is whether our political class will do it. And the answer to that question, weirdly enough, has more to do with campaign finance reform and lobbying than it does with science or you know, fossil fuels. And the bottom line is that we have to free our political class, we have to free our governing class from the grips of the fossil fuel companies, which are incredibly powerful, incredibly influential, and frankly, incredibly dangerous.
John, you hear about corrupted politicians. This money, it is corrupting to them, right? That's how they win re-election. That's how they stay in power. That's how they keep those big staffs and those cush jobs, right?
It's right. And they tend to live, this month is August, right? Many of us are working this month, including you two. Where's the Congress?
Where's the Congress, John?
They get the month off. They take August off and they only work, you know, Tuesday through Thursday. So, I mean, I think with all due respect, it is entirely possible to suggest that A, they should work a little harder, and B, they should focus on serving the great mass of people and the planet rather than their corporate benefactors.
Well, then you probably got Rojo on a private jet owned by a trust held by his family, jetting off to Florida
because,
you know, he could use the sun, John. Come back with us, a fine guest.
He's had a bad week, though.
John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, more Devil's Advocates. I'm live one block from the state capitol, the People's House.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pinot Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 57 tonight, under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 84. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, 61. Low 80s Thursday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Warmer Friday, with highs in the mid 80s, storms continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 82 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Be sure to check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and check out the Civic Media app. You can download us and take us with you anywhere you go.
We've still got a fine guest. His name's John Nichols. He's a friend of ours. He is the editor at the Cap Times locally and part of the team at the Nation. John, appreciate you sticking around, man.
Good to be with you.
John, you've got to be scintillated by the breaking news. Mike Pence coming to Milwaukee to participate in that national Republican debate for the presidency. John, I have joked a few times they'd rather hang Mike Pence than vote for Mike Pence, but he'll be on stage. Trump probably will not. John, are you looking forward to the debate? You doing something that night?
Oh, I always look forward to a good Republican debate. You know, I grew up down in Union Grove, Wisconsin, and that was the site of the Racine County Fair. And you know that I think it was usually Sunday night we had the Demolition Derby. And that's where everybody got out in their cars and crashed into each other. And so as somebody who was raised on Demolition Derbies, how could I turn down a chance to watch Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis crash into each other?
John, the former president, indicted multiple times, many more coming, yes, perhaps between now and his non-visit to Milwaukee.
So far.
Well, who's counting, right, John?
But who's counting? Right, exactly.
Well, the January 6th stuff, the insurrection, and we had some guy call us earlier today and said they didn't even charge him with insurrection of a riot or something of that effect. Like, he didn't even cause harm, John. But he's trying to cause harm right now. He's trying to put the prosecutor's wife in the crosshairs, the judge in the crosshairs. You know he's trying to motivate a lone wolf in some way, shape, or form. He'd be just fine with that. John, we've been speculating. Do you think the former president could end up in jail effectively as a gag order?
Well, I don't know what the former president's trying to motivate. Except that I think he just kind of goes with his gut on any given moment and does whatever comes into his head, however destructive or damaging it may be. I don't know that we put people in jail for that. You know, I think up to a point, we've all got an opportunity to say things that may offend people and may trouble people. And so I would even defend Donald Trump's ability or right to do that. But he does seem to be trying to provoke this judge and trying to start a fight, right? And at some point, I think the judge is probably going to try and put some sanctions on him. I don't know that that's going to go to putting him in jail or something like that. But I do think it's part of a broader strategy on part of Donald Trump, and that is to disrupt this process. And I think that's a big deal, something to understand. Donald Trump wants this process of his trial on all these 78 different indictments and things. He wants it to go on for as long as humanly possible. He'd like to have it go on through 2023 to through 2024. He, delusionally, I believes that he will be elected president again, and that if he is elected president again, he can appoint a new attorney general who will stop the prosecution, right? Who will overturn or, you know, reject the continuation of the efforts to hold him to account. I mean, that's clearly his goal. It's an incredibly tall hill to climb because in this country, we do talk about the notion of a speedy trial. And even to the extent that he wants to delay, I think he is going to come to trial, at least on some of these issues. But that's what's going on here. That's what's clearly happening is he wants to do everything in his power to make sure that this mess continues for as long as humanly possible, because he thinks at the end of it, he can effectively pardon himself. The reality is that the more interesting process is one, I think, for the Democrats, right? I mean, let's be clear of who's cheering on Trump's efforts to slow things down. And I think that's primarily Democrats, because if Trump is indeed the Republican nominee in 2024, as Republicans themselves acknowledge, sometimes publicly, often quietly, that's a real problem for their party, that they are in a position where they could win the Senate in 2024. But with Trump at the top of the ticket, there's a very real chance they'll lose it. And as well as losing the presidency and perhaps the House. And so, again, this sort of fascinating position where we find ourselves, where Democrats are quite comfortable with Trump, you know, playing this trial out as long as he can. Whereas Republicans, I think smart Republicans, savvy Republicans, would like very much for somebody else to, you know, hold Trump to account. They're not going to do so in their party, but they wouldn't mind if somebody outside their party did.
John, let's talk about holding someone accountable. How about Congressman Derek Van Orden, insurrectionist, profanity screamer at the teenage pages? John, will there be an electoral price to pay? This can't bode well for his reelective chances, can it?
I kind of think it could be bad for him. You know, I don't know. One time where you start yelling at a teenager is an issue, but when you have sort of like repeated incidents where you are yelling at teenagers and you're a guy in your 50s, that's just getting a little weird.
Teenagers and outside our own immediate families, right, John? That's what you meant.
Yeah, well, there you have it. There you have it. But the thing is, I think that sometimes weird is as destructive in politics as wrong. And my sense is that a lot of voters in southwestern and western Wisconsin, where much of my family is from, I just don't think they get real excited about having a congressman who spends his time yelling at kids.
I don't know why you wouldn't want a fine representative like that.
It seems like there could be other things to do with a congressional seat, right? You know,
right.
I mean, other ways to spend your time. But yeah, this is the thing. Van Orden, I think, is getting known for this kind of stuff, and that does indeed extract a political price. And I think you're going to see a number of candidates line up to run against him.
Yeah, I suspect you're right, John Nichols, because you almost always are. Our good friend from the Nation, from the Cap Times, from Friend of the Devil's Advocates, John Nichols, appreciate you taking our call this Tuesday afternoon. Make it a terrific day, sir.
Thanks, John.
I will do my best. Have a great day.
Come back, more Devils. Phone lines, they're open for you. 844-967-2789.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of city workers are on strike now in Los Angeles over alleged labor violations. But union leader Hilda Valdez says the city's not negotiating in good faith.
Our members are really fed up. The city cannot treat our workers this way and think that we're not going to call them out.
Hollywood and hotel workers are on strike there, too. Police have issued arrest warrants for a big riverfront brawl in Montgomery, Alabama. Chief Daryl Albert
We have instructed those individuals to turn themselves into law enforcement, and as at this time, one is secured and in custody. The other two are set to turn themselves in.
13 people were originally detained but later released. Hate crimes charges are also possible. President Biden designated a new national monument today to protect about 1 million acres of land from mining near the Grand Canyon.
Help right the wrongs of the past and conserve this land of ancestral footprints for all future generations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A train was coming when a 13-year-old Waukesha girl got her bike stuck on the train tracks last week. She luckily got out of the way. But according to a story in the Waukesha County Freeman, the bike was totaled and the girl was shook up. The incident occurred as she was trying to cross the tracks near a cemetery on West and Progress Avenues. Parents of kids in Waukesha schools need to make a decision by tomorrow regarding whether they want to transfer their kids to a different school. The district is making the offer due to certain classes at specific schools nearing 30 students each. Overcrowding plagues third grade classes at Higher, fifth grade classes at Hawthorne, and third, fourth, and fifth grade classes at Bethesda. Part of the problem is a lack of dual language teachers. A Waukesha dual language third grade teacher involved in the Rainbow Land controversy was terminated this summer. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Devils Advocates Radio Show, a terrific Tuesday edition, a happier happy hour. Thank you to our friend John Nichols for being a part. John from the Nation, from the Cap Times, they're gonna host Bernie Sanders September 22nd. That's a Friday night event, and that I will be at. I strongly suspect I'm still feeling the burn. Dom, chase Bernie all over America. Especially in Iowa. Remember going to Iowa several times? Cedar Rapids, different places in Iowa. Well, Dom, I don't know if you know what's going on this Saturday, but damn it, it's the Iowa State Fair time. And guess who's coming to Iowa?
Who?
Be a shootout at the corn bales, Dom. President Trump announced today he plans to visit the Iowa State Fair this weekend. On Saturday, August 12th.
But guess who? Can't wait to see the former president jump up on a hay bale. See how that works out for him.
I hear he's quite coordinated, Tom.
Yeah.
Trump, the front runner of the 2024 Republican presidential primary, joins other GOP candidates at the annual event, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who also plans to attend the fair on Saturday. So DeSantis says, I'm going to the Iowa State Fair. I'm going to see some future caucus goers, right? And Trump says, I'm going to go steal his thunder. And, of course, attack the special prosecutor and maybe Fani Willis, whoever else is on his radar at the moment.
Come on. I mean, that is a given. That is the Trump MO. But the fact he didn't even show up at a fair, let's talk about this for a moment. Will he be in the traditional, you know, red tie, white shirt, blue blazer?
Yep.
Walking around the fair? Not gonna don the overalls or the, you know, the T-shirt, the golf shirt, perhaps? I mean, how do you think he will prepare himself for a state fair?
Couple of Ritalin, same as always.
Come on, man. I just went to state fair here in Wisconsin. I brought a koozie and a little bit of cash for corn dog, man. So how does Trump prepare for the state fair? That's what I want to know, for real.
I am unclear, Dom, but Trump's planned visit to the state fair, where'd it go? Comes after he turned down other events, including a fireside chat with Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, Republican. Let's not forget his march-up music at the Kim Reynolds event last week featured a song where one line is, could become the president, could go to prison.
So absolutely appropriate.
And he apparently a little miffed the Trump campaign. Not happy about that march-up music. Reynolds, who extended the invitation to all 2024 GOP candidates for president, despite being a popular candidate in her state, Trump has been critical of Reynolds over the last couple of months, and Trump's visit also is likely an attempt to overshadow DeSantis. You think so? DeSantis' effort to reset his campaign. DeSantis reportedly visited nearly 30 counties in Iowa as of Saturday, and also fired his campaign manager, right, Tom? Another reset from the DeSantis campaign.
The reset of the reset, do with another reset squared.
Wait, I've got some polling out of Iowa, Tom.
There's more.
DeSantis' efforts come as his campaign has struggled. They're struggling. A Scott Walker-like struggle in Iowa to make strong gains in the polls. According to the Morning Consult data updated Tuesday, Trump has the support of 59% of Republican voters, followed by DeSantis at 16%. He's trailing by 43. That's going to sting a little. You better get your corn dog and your fried butter on a stick. Now, Dom, I have told this story a few times on the air. I went to Iowa to see Trump. That was right around the Let's Go Brandon time. Remember when that whole
thing dropped? I remember, yes. I did not go with you. You just went to a big Trump rally.
I went to an enormous Trump rally, Des Moines, Iowa. It was during the midst of football season. I believe I was playing Iowa State down the road in Iowa City. I'm in Des Moines. And it's Saturday night, and it's hot. And you can smell the fried grease for miles. And I went walking around. I met lots of locals, as you know I'm accustomed to doing them, like the man on the street stuff. Heard a lot of Let's Go Brandon and F Joe Biden that day. And by the time Trump came on the stage, the locals, the Des Moines paper, estimated the crowd at 25,000. I've seen bigger crowds than 25,000. I think that was a bigger crowd than 25,000 with a college football game sold out an hour away in Iowa. And I'm thinking, why is everybody here? Why am I here?
That's a great question.
It was not a great showdown, but I compare that with here's what was surprising to me. The enormity of the crowd in Iowa for Donald Trump shouldn't, but it did. But B, when Donald Trump came to Waukesha County on behalf of Tim Michaels, it was so insignificant, that crowd.
Oh, and that was years later though, right? I mean, the Iowa trip was
like Trump 2021, 2022, dude. This was not was years and years later.
All right, fair enough.
This was like during the pandemic, man. This was like a pandemic crowd of 40,000. Crazy. 844-967-2789. To not call the Devil's Advocates right now would be literally crazy. Dana from La Crosse. Welcome back, man. How you been?
Hey, Dana.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Happy Tuesday. Say, you think Trump's going to have an elephant ear when he gets to the fair?
I'm not clear
what one is.
If he eats the local fair. I mean, not like he's a healthy eater, but he likes homogenous food. He likes that's quarter pounders, right, double quarter pounders, something he can get from the clown's head.
Maybe he could get a corn dog and, maybe make a second attempt with Stormy, a little better for him. That's all I got, guys. I got nothing. You have a great night.
You're straining today. Dana, you had more going on with the old style references earlier in the show. Dana was texting us out from the Eagle, 1490 AM in God's Country, La Crosse, Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. Another friend, Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Doing okay. And it's just fascinating how Gary and CJ and Lou insult you guys, you welcome their calls, and it's good for you guys for doing it. But when Gary called, I couldn't. He was calling from the road. I couldn't help but remember a line from the Doris song. And change it a little bit. Gary's on the road, and his brain is squirming like a toad. That from Riders on the Storm. But it is just a remarkable. I think that if Trump's got all this time to go to political events and give speeches and make all these appearances, and he certainly should have time to prepare along with his lawyers for his court appearances.
Right.
So, that's something a judge should order, is say enough with this stuff.
Well, yeah, come on, Mark. You don't get to get out of your criminal court case because you're going to a job interview, man. What are you talking about? This doesn't happen in any circumstance, anywhere, ever.
Right. He should be preparing for his court cases, and that's what the judge should say. That you can't be doing this stuff. You're going to get no more delays. You're going to be up here and here and now, and TS if you have to cancel some campaign events. You have to give up the fair, buddy, and be here in court on whatever day it is, and be here again on Monday and Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday through Friday.
The court, and I hear what you're saying, the court never should ever reference what the defendant may or may not be doing with his schedule. Here's the court schedule. You be here, because that's what criminals and accused criminals and those that are indicted on 70 plus charges and more to come have to do. You got to show up to your court case. Doesn't matter what you think else is important. If you don't, it's going to be bad. Thanks for the call, Mark.
More of a peace frog guy myself. Blood on the street. It's up to my ankles.
844-967-2789, NBC reporting. Vice President Mike Pence's campaign appears to have hit the Republican National Committee's thresholds to make this month's presidential primary debate. The stage may largely be set. Candidates have until 48 hours before the debate on August 23rd. Oh, it's getting close, Crudy, to submit proof they've hit the RNC's polling and donor thresholds, as well as their signed pledges to support
Rudy Giuliani's got my proof.
Nominee. Yeah.
Rudy's got all the proof you need. He's got all my proof. He says I won.
Forget it. That's all. And I think essentially that's what Chris Christie said. Yeah, I'll give you the same guarantee Donald Trump gave you. Talk about a pledge that means literally nothing. It is the Republicans all agreeing to sign a pledge to support the eventual GOP nominee. According to NBC, candidates who appear to have hit the criteria include Trump, DeSantis, Ramaswamy, Haley, Scott, Doug Burgum, Chris Christie, and of course, now Pence.
Is Marianne Williamson get in there?
I don't. She's on the other side.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Hill is reporting that Miami Mayor Francis Suarez announced he has met his donor requirement, but apparently still has some other requirements to meet. So there still may be some action. We got, a little bit of time left for these Republicans to get their ducks in a row. But, Crudy, I mean, what are you saying, man? Do you think Trump's going to show up?
No.
No.
Kimberly Guilfoyle said no. So did
Trump
Jr.
I said no months ago. What is it about Kimberly Guilfoyle that you trust, not me?
She's sleeping with the old man's son.
Yeah. And so she's right and I'm right if he doesn't show up, so I'm right. I'm right. Are you conceding, Curdy, that I was right?
Well, if he doesn't show up,
not going to show up,
you'll be right.
He's not going to show up.
If he does not show up, okay, you will be right. Okay. He may want to show up just to rant at the prosecutors that day.
Yeah, it is Donald Trump.
I mean, because he's got court on Friday. They're going to try to gag him, right? Gag, air quotes. And he's already said, you know, you can't gag me. I'm not going to be silenced. I have the First Amendment.
I will not be ignored.
Well, if let's say they shut down his avenues of social media or other forms of ranting, let's say, and he's only got the platform of, let's say, a Fox News debate in Milwaukee to run to, I think he'll go out there and do his ranting on the Fox News debate stage, Tom.
So a little bit of time for Trump to make up his mind, but the stage essentially set. So, Crudy, I mean, who if Donald Trump doesn't show up,
he wins.
What do you think?
He
who
wins.
Do you think will come out as top of those that do?
Who's your early peak performers? There'll be a Carly Fiorina moment that's meaningless in the whole scheme of things. So, like Tim Scott, for an instant, or this businessman that, whatever. Maybe Doug Burgum will catch a fleeting moment of 3% support. But it's not going to matter because they're all going to be cut down by the chainsaw that is Donald Trump. I don't think Ron DeSantis will hurt his chances, but he'll probably have a target on his back. And I think he'll come off as sort of snarky and evil, just like they like him on the Republican side. But I think that Donald Trump wins whether he's there or whether he's not there, because he's the overwhelming dominant figure in Republican politics. I mean, hell, we talk about him more on this show than Joe Biden. Why? Because he's the Republican front runner, 78 times indicted, and he's out there attacking the prosecutors, might have a gag order, got a court date on Friday. I mean, this guy does keep his name in the news cycles, if you know what I'm saying. Everybody's spelling his name right. They all know Trump.
You can't show up on stage to defend what is going to be coming at you. Because I guarantee you, Chris Christie and Mike Pence and some of these others will bring up these convictions. Will bring up the prosecutions.
No convictions yet.
Held civilly liable for rape. Whatever.
Sexual battery.
No, he lost that one, man. He lost that. But they're gonna trash him, and he's not gonna be there to defend himself. Not that he has any defense for his behavior, and hell, half those Republicans were perhaps supportive of it. Pence testified to the special counsel, as did former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
They're gonna be lighting this dude up
left and right, and he's got nothing to say about it. If you got something to say, hit us up. Our last segment of the day coming up, 844-967-2789. Then I'm hitting off to the Stevie Nicks concert. You go, girl. We'll be right back.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the project of Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 57 tonight under mainly clear skies. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 84. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 61. Low 80s Thursday and Friday with thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 82 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stay tuned. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up after the 6 o'clock hour.
I wonder what Maggie, our Legal Eagle's interpretation of this one might be. Federal judge orders Southwest Airlines attorneys to attend religious liberty training with conservative group. Hey, do me a favor. Less Tom Petty. Thanks. A federal judge in Texas on Monday ordered three attorneys for Southwest Airlines to attend a religious liberty training from a conservative legal advocacy group as punishment for allegedly violating a ruling in a religious discrimination case brought against the company by a fired flight attendant. And the sanctions ordered, handed down by District Judge Brantley Starr to ours, and appointing a former governor, wait for it, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, I guess. Give him a bit of a demotion there, Governor. Trump are an unusual demand given that the group, the Alliance Defending Freedom, has a lengthy history of representing religious adherents in high-profile cases seeking to bolster religious protections and roll back LGBTQ and reproductive rights nationwide. So they're a very conservative group. They're down for, you know, the anti-abortion and the hating of the gays. Last year, a jury found that both Southwest and transport union workers discriminated against Charlene Carter when it fired the flight attendant after she expressed her pro-life beliefs to her union president. Now, following the verdict, Starr ordered Southwest to reinstate Carter and take several other corrective actions, including requiring both the airline and the union to inform Southwest flight attendants that under Title VII, they may not discriminate against Southwest flight attendants for their religious practices and beliefs, including but not limited to those expressed on social media and those concerning abortions. The gist of it, though, the lawyers didn't do what the judge told them word for word. The judge said Southwest also sent around a memo to flight attendants in which the company lambasted Carter by taking issue with the conduct she was fired over. Here's what he writes, and this is quite interesting. This is a judicial ruling, Trump appointee, federal judge. It's hard to see how Southwest could have violated the notice requirement more. Take these modified historical and movie anecdotes. Historical and movie anecdotes. After God told Adam, you must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Imagine Adam telling God, I do not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, while an apple core rests at his feet. Is that a historical text or a movie anecdote, Dom? Or, again, from the very same ruling, very same judicial appointee of Trump, or where Gandalf bellows. Gandalf, now we've moved on to Tolkien, right? Lord of the Rings. You shall not pass. The Balrog muses, I do not pass. While strolling past Gandalf on the bridge of Khazad-dûm, Starr wrote. The guy's
what?
What indeed?
The I mean, court... at least he's comparing fiction to fiction.
No, one is a movie and the other
really?
Is a
Are
historical.
Sure? This seems all fiction to me.
Dom, the court again from the ruling. The court concludes that trading on religious freedom for three lawyers at the Southwest, meaning their legal counsel have to take religious training, Dom. The court finds responsible Carrie Forbes, Kevin Minchie, and Chris Mayberry is the least restrictive means of achieving compliance with the court's order. The Alliance Defending Freedom has conducted such training in the past, and the court deems that appropriate here. The conservative We Hate the Gay group. The sanctions order was featured earlier Tuesday in the Law Dork newsletter authored by Chris Geigner. Southwest and the transport union workers have appealed the judge's ruling. And the airline said in a brief statement to CNN that it plans to appeal Star's sanctions order. Huh. What do you think, Dom?
A Trump-appointed conservative, God-fearing judge ordering attorneys in a case to, what, be indoctrinated by a wackadoodle anti-LGBTQ Trump-funded, presumably conservative-funded organization?
As the example of the Bible and Lord of the Rings should show you, Dom. It's all clear
as
mud
said
now,
before,
right?
Trudy, we can sit here and debate the finer points of fiction until the cows come home. But we don't have time for that. We got some callers. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, did you say this was Texas?
No, Wisconsin. Oh, no. What's the question? Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, where's the location of this particular case? Yeah.
Because I thought Texas was a right-to-work state like Wisconsin, and the reason they did that was so that a person could be fired for any reason and not have any recourse. That's why they were so hell-bent on making Wisconsin a right-to-work state. So how does this pan out?
That's a great question. I'm not clear on the what state this was in, Kurt. You got any?
I am pouring through the reported materials and have yet to come upon a dateline. Sorry, team. I've let you down.
All right, Cindy. Great points. We'll check it out and get back to you on that. But yeah, the conservatives they'll make some allowances for religious freedom. And what the hell is religious freedom anyway? I mean, this is like woke. I mean, everyone's got a friggin' different definition of what religious freedom. Like, I think I should be free from all your religion. See what I'm saying? There's my religious freedom. I get to go through my day without you telling me all the finer points of your fiction and trying to impose that fiction upon me because, I don't know, that's what you believe. See, that's my religious freedom. So how does it work for everybody else? I'm not clear on it all. So whenever you get into a conversation about these kinds of things, perhaps agree on definitions. It's like really, really where to start with these megas.
I think Cindy was absolutely right. According to ABC News, Dateline, Dallas, Texas.
Texas.
They do everything big in Texas. Come back with us tomorrow when we do it on Wednesday. I knew what day it was. See, I was seeing. I was testing you. Uh-huh, you're shaking me off.
I gotta go, man.
I didn't say throw the curveball. I said come back tomorrow and listen again to the greatest Wednesday edition ever, perhaps. Never can tell. That or we crash and burn. Either way, it's going to be damn fine radio for listening.
Oh, no matter what happens, Crudy, I will be in studio in Madison tomorrow.
So oh, thanks for sharing. There. I'll be here as well.
Excellent.
Hopefully you won't be terribly hungover from the Stevie Nicks concert. We'll see. Probably. Have fun, fella. Stick around, the rest of you, without concert tickets. Maggie Dawn is next. And then Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, and the Rick Smith Nationwide Show, 8 o'clock. Keep it locked right here at Civic Media. We'll be back tomorrow. Hasta mañana.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.